Right now, we are joined by a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, a writer for Sports Illustrated, the author of The Quarterback. We got to talk some college football with Bruce Feldman. Bruce, good to have you back. How are you?
Great to have you, Bruce. Thanks so much. Let me start first with Tennessee. As you reported earlier this week, Bruce, Butch Jones is out. I mean, ultimately, given how things started for him there and the fact that it looked like, yeah, things turned around, why do you think it didn't work out for Jones at Tennessee?
You know, it was one of those where I think he took over a big mess and he built it up. But ultimately, last year, the 2016 season was his chance, you know, to have the breakthrough. And it didn't happen. You know, they had some injuries. I just think that also some of the hires he'd made, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I think they just ultimately were pretty underwhelming. And then it seemed like kind of the harder Butch tried to kind of combat the narrative, I think the worse things kind of became. And it was almost like, you know, quicksand, where the more you fight it, the faster you go down. And I really think that's what was it. He came into this year. Everybody knew he was on the hot seat. He had a pretty young team, and they didn't respond too well to the pressure, and then things just seemed like they imploded from there.
Bruce Feldman joining us. Now, if we're talking about an opening at Tennessee, then that means, Bruce, that we're going to have to talk about John Gruden at some point, so we might as well get it over with right now. Based on what you've heard, how likely is it that he would take over in Knoxville? Is there any chance that could happen?
I mean, I think there's some volunteer boosters who are going to try to throw a lot of money at him. But, Jim, he's already making a ton of money, and he's also got a big endorsement deal, and he's never been a college head coach. So, you know, I'm wondering, does John Gruden, with the setup he has, A, does he want to get back into coaching, and B, does he want to get into coaching at this level where you have to wrestle with things like the 20-hour rule and different things where – you know, your off season is you're constantly basically checking your phone to deal with recruiting because some kid is in town and wants to take an unofficial visit, or somebody gets in trouble, or just a lot of the kind of annoying things that really don't have that much to do with actually coaching football as he knows it. And by the way, you know, he spent a lot of time with Butch Jones over the last few years, so I think he's pretty versed with not only the positives that go with coaching in Tennessee, but also probably some of the headaches, too.
Yeah, I just don't see it personally. I really don't. Now, what about Chip Kelly? His name has also come up. Could you see him returning to college football and doing it sooner as opposed to later?
I could definitely see that. You know, he had a ton of success. He was 46-7 in 4 years at Oregon. He was as innovative as any coach that we have seen in college football in a long time, not just with his offensive system, but a lot of the ways in terms of performance and training habits and the things he was able to help bring to Oregon. So I think there's a good chance he could come back. It's just where is going to be the ideal fit. I could see University of Florida being very interested in him. The question's going to be, you know, what's the fit for him? Just knowing him a little bit, I know that he's going to want to go somewhere where he feels, you know what, do my bosses treat people the right way? Do I feel like I can work with these guys? So there's got to be a support and commitment, but also I don't think he's going to want to go to somewhere where the head coach becomes some kind of celebrity where everybody's in your business and they're looking at every possible thing, and there's a lot of other fishbowl aspect of it. Now, there's less of that aspect at Florida than there would be at Tennessee, but there's still quite a bit of it. When you're the head coach of University of Florida in the SEC. If one of these other jobs in the Pac-12 opened up, I could see that. You know, I could certainly see him as a fit at a UCLA or Arizona State if they had a coaching change. But if they did decide to go in those directions, both of those schools would have to pay a lot of money to get out of their current head coaches. The one big positive beyond just Kelly's system and everything he would bring with him is you would probably get him at a cut rate because, remember, he's still getting paid a lot by the San Francisco 49ers.
Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, that's well said. So you've got Tennessee with an opening. You've got Florida with an opening. Then you've got Dan Mullen, who is an assistant at Florida, and he's accomplished some amazing things in Mississippi State. But could you see him leaving there for either Florida or Tennessee if they come for him?
I could. You know, as you mentioned, he was not only an assistant under Urban Meyer at Florida, but his old boss, the AD at Mississippi State, Scott Strickland, he's now the AD at Florida. They have a good relationship. The curious part of this thing with Dan Mullen is He's done a terrific job at Mississippi State. That's the hardest job in the SEC West, resources-wise. They're now paying him $4.5 million a year. That's a lot of money. I think Tennessee, if Florida doesn't want him, I think Tennessee could pay him, you know, $6.5 million to get him. He knows the SEC. He's a really good offensive coach. He's shown time and time again now he knows how to develop quarterbacks if you look at his track record. That's a big piece in this. The question is, yes, Tennessee is a better job, and certainly Florida is a much better job than what he has at Mississippi State. You have a better chance to compete for a national title there. But if you go 8-4 at Mississippi State, and remember, he's in the last 5 years, he's averaged a little less than 8 wins a season. You do that in Starkville, Mississippi, they're going to love it. You do that in Knoxville for a couple of years in a row, and they're going to get tired of you. I mean, remember, Butch Jones had back-to-back 9-4 seasons in year 3 and year 4 coming into this year, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
You know, Bruce, you have all that, and then you got a guy like Scott Frost, and his name is getting a lot of run based on what he's done at UCF, and because we have so many listeners in Nebraska, this comes up every single day on this show. In the event that that Nebraska job does open up, how likely is it that Frost were to go there? And I hate to even say this, but because it seems like sacrilege, could he do better than Nebraska?
Well, I think that's in the question of how the people in Gainesville feel right now about him. I mean, he's had a ton of success. He took over a program that was basically just completely dormant. They were almost dead last in the country in offense, and now they're number one in the country in offense. Yeah, he is a Chip Kelly protege. He obviously has big Nebraska ties, having been a player there and being from there. What I wonder about is, and let's say, you know, he's still very well thought of and close to Tom Osborne, who's kind of the godfather of Nebraska football. If you look at that situation, does he say, you know what, I love Nebraska, yet at the same time, I don't know if I have as good a chance to compete for national titles there because it's harder to recruit and get the kind of speed I need for my system around Nebraska. Now, it's on the favorable side of the Big Ten and the Big Ten West, which is much easier. It's basically Wisconsin and nothing else going on there. But if you're at Florida, you're surrounded with all this talent. So I don't know. And same thing, Tennessee has a stronger recruiting base than Nebraska does. So it's just a matter of what he's going to want to do. I had heard that Nebraska was looking to make a big, big financial offer to him. But, you know, we're going to see how this is going to play out. They have a new AD, Bill Moose, who came from Washington State, had hired Mike Leach there as definitely an outside-the-box thinker. I think Scott Frost would be a home run hire if they could get him at Nebraska, but I think right now it's just a big if.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman for another moment or so. You mentioned the Big Ten, so let me ask you this. You were working the Michigan State-Ohio State game on Saturday. How do you explain the fact, Bruce, that the Buckeyes can beat Penn State 1 week, get smashed by Iowa the next, and then trounce Michigan State the week after that?
The best explanation I got, Jim, is that, you know, there are 19- and 20-year-old kids, and I think sometimes their focus is just not always where it needs to be because you got these emotional roller coasters. I think Iowa was really well coached. They have some talent. You know, Nate Stanley's a good young quarterback, but I think if you're – and they did, to their credit, they did do some things that Ohio State had not seen defensively, and they didn't adjust to them well. But I think more than that, I think the Buckeye players thought, hey, we got an unranked Iowa team coming in here. They looked and saw they were pretty underwhelming just in terms of what their product had been on the field this year. And there was a natural letdown coming from the rally against Penn State and Saquon Barkley. And all of a sudden they went in there, and I think they realized how physical Iowa can be, how well coached they are. And they realized they got athletes too. And before it was too late, they couldn't flip the switch. Whereas when they came in against Michigan State, it was a little bit the opposite. Michigan State was riding this emotional crest. You know, we had their game the week before against Penn State. It was a, you know, 7-hour game because of the weather delays. They went on the last second field goal. They're a young team. They went into Columbus. The Buckeyes punched him in the face a couple of times, and Michigan State looked really young and in over their head, and that was that.
A reporter, another critical weekend coming up just now, a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, a writer for Sports Illustrated, also the author of The Quarterback, Bruce Feldman, our guest. Bruce, great job. Great to have you back. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Bruce Feldman, great job, Bruce.